"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com. People are upset all over the death of the two officers from El Monte. Happened about 24 hours ago. The El Monte Corporal Michael Paredes and Officer Joseph Santana, they both shot to death by a criminal named Justin Flores, who was on probation because of George Gascon's stupid, deadly policies.
Yeah, Paredes, by the way, is 42 years old. He became a full-time officer in the year 2000. He's survived by his wife, daughter, and son. Again, both of these officers were from the area. Santana had been with the El Monte Force less than a year. He had been a deputy with the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department for 3 years, and he leaves behind his wife, daughter, and twin sons.
Bill Malusian with Fox News has been releasing details that back in February of 2021, he got a non...
This is like 2 months after Gascon took office.
Right, and Gascon issued these blanket policies on how to prosecute cases and what the sentencing was going to be, and instead of getting 2.5 to 3 years for possessing a gun as a felon, he had been convicted of felony burglary back in 2011. So you can't possess a gun. Well, he had a gun. He got caught, and he should have gotten 2.5 to 3 years. Instead, he got probation. And there were two other charges dropped as well, possession of ammunition and possession of methamphetamine.
Nice.
And so this is a George Gascon double murder here, teamed up with Justin Flores, because Flores would have been in prison otherwise. So I don't know how anybody argues for any of these policies, any of this progressive nonsense. With such garbage. It's just such absolute garbage. And Gascon has got to be removed from office. Good news today, 566,000 signatures is the current total on the remove Gascon petitions. That is the bare minimum. They've got 3 more weeks, and they want to get at least another 100,000 or so, maybe 150,000, just so there's a big cushion, because God knows what's going to go on in the county registrar's office.
Right.
All right, so let's get Alex Villanueva, the sheriff. If you watched any of the TV coverage last night, you saw the sheriff at the news conferences. Sheriff, how are you?
Just fighting a battle here with COVID, but other than that, doing all right.
Oh, you got it too, huh?
I finally got it. You didn't go to Summit of the Americas, did you?
No.
Well, we hope you feel better.
Saw you last night at the at some of the press conferences that they had outside of the hospital when they were announcing the deaths of the two officers. What do you know about this case and this guy's background?
And Gascon's policies.
Yeah. What have you heard? Anything else?
Well, we do know that an arrest was made. I believe it was March of 2020. However, he posted made a bail of like 120K. And so it wasn't until February of 21 that he finally, you know, I guess, did the plea bargain with the new DA and got the sweetheart deal with the special orders. And that allowed him to avoid. He already had a strike on his record. And pursuant to the Gascon's policies, which had been thrown out by the courts, he avoided getting another strike. So that minimized his sentence. So it was probation instead of hard prison time.
So that policy was thrown out later by the courts after Flores had already gotten the plea deal.
Yeah, because I think the Association of Deputy District Attorneys had challenged it in court, but I don't think the ruling had come out yet. But the facts of their pleadings were pretty obvious. You can't dismiss the will of the legislature. And that's exactly what the DA did.
Wow, that makes it even worse that he slipped in during that time between the policy being instituted and the court throwing it out. I mean, I guess that's the worst part of your job is to have to show up at one of these press conferences. I know it wasn't your sheriff's deputies who got killed, but the brotherhood extends to everybody in uniform. I mean, it's just got to be the worst moment.
Yeah, the acting chief Lowry, you know, God bless him. He's doing a tough job, and he just got the worst thing possible a law enforcement head can face is the death of one of their own in the line of duty. And, breaking the bad news to the family, it is just raw emotion. And my heart goes out to everyone from the families, both families that we met and the agency. They lost two of their own. I mean, it's just a tough time all around.
How do you deal with a call like this? Supposedly there was some sort of potential stabbing at this motel. I mean, how would you handle a call like that in terms of being cautious?
Well, if you have the evidence of a call like that, you know, potential stabbing, well, you have to make some kind of a contact and ask people to come out if they're inside of a hotel room, for example. But this thing deteriorated apparently as soon as I showed up. So there wasn't a whole lot of opportunity for them to safely engage the suspect. And,
yeah, there's reports that he fired right through the door, but I haven't seen that confirmed yet.
Yeah, there's still a lot of information that we have to cover, and Homicide Bureau our Homicide Bureau handles the investigation on behalf of the Amani Police Department. And so they'll cover every single aspect. They'll canvass, get witnesses, they'll canvass for ring door cameras, CCTV cameras, cell phone cameras, everything possible to stitch together the chain of events as they unfolded. And hopefully we'll have an idea of what went wrong.
Well, on the other front, you were one of the first to sign the petition for the recall of the LA County DA. So I guess you're aware of the pretty good news today about the signature collecting.
Yes, that is a welcome welcome relief that we're in rarefied atmosphere, because outside of his two statewide governor recalls, I think that's the biggest signature gathering ever in the history of the state of California. And I think people are motivated. They're realizing that, you know, we can do reform of the criminal justice system, but it doesn't mean we have to abandon law and order. And it doesn't have to be an either or situation. So I think we'll definitely we'll right the ship and get that pendulum swing back to the middle where it belongs.
Well, thank you for coming on with us. Hope you feel better.
Well, thank you, folks.
All right.
Yeah, that's Alex Villanueva, the sheriff of Los Angeles County, who came on to talk about this horrible murder of two police officers in El Monte, which is, of course, a part of L.A. County, but it was the El Monte Police Department that lost these officers. And Sheriff also told us that he's battling COVID. What do you know? Seems to be everywhere. When we come back, there is an update on the other police officer shooting. As you know, just the night before, a CHP officer was shot in Studio City. The family of that suspect is talking and apologizing. We'll talk about that and more coming up.
John and Ken Show, KFI. This has been one like kick in the gut after the other with this story about the two officers killed in El Monte. We just had Sheriff Ian Uwavuan, who said Gascon's blanket policy not to charge the killer, Justin Flores, a year ago for a felony, not to charge him and sentence him.
Yeah, this is a plea deal, and he's got probation.
Yeah, and apparently that kind of non-sentencing was thrown out by a court later on. That was one of those things that a judge dismissed as illegal.
He got right in there in between.
Because he ignored that first strike that Justin Flores had committed way back in 2011, and that meant that as a felon caught with a gun, he had to be charged as a felon, and he was supposed to get 2.5 to 3 years in prison. And he didn't. He got probation. He got nothing. And that's sick. I mean, and then it gets thrown out. Oh, that's just terrible.
I think people are making themselves known on this by signing the petitions, because now it's all about getting the cushion to get this on the ballot. But as we learned earlier in the show, the vote will not be November. It'll probably have to be a special vote in December or January, because they missed the deadline to get the vote for the ballot in November. That may be a good thing. I don't know. It'll be a smaller turnout for just a recall.
It'd be the highly motivated get Gascon out contingent, I think, will dominate.
600,000 that signed the petition sure they vote. So there's a start right there.
Right.
Turnout.
Nobody's going to go out of their way to defend this guy other than the extreme crazies.
The public defender is the activists.
Right.
The defund the police people.
Right. The people in that industry.
The criminal justice reform, empty the prisons people who day by day are being shown to be completely deranged and unsafe. The other police shooting that we talked about yesterday, which occurred on Monday night, was the shooting of a California Highway Patrol officer in Studio City. This is the story of the shooter that after he got pulled over by the CHP officer, he didn't want to pull over at first, but eventually he did. They got into some kind of scuffle, and then the shooter pulled out a gun and shot the 27-year-old officer several times. He's in critical but stable condition. The shooter, whose name is Pujman Iraj Karazabadi, he fled the scene. 33-year-old man, he went back to where he lived first, but it looked like he also may have gotten shot or injured because he was bleeding. And when they went to his address at the apartment, they thought he was barricaded in there. Turns out he wasn't. They eventually broke in, but all that was there was his roommate. But they found blood, and then they used a bloodhound to track. And by the way, the family calls him PJ. That's his nickname.
Did you see the bloodhound on the news?
I did, yes.
Handsome-looking dog. And he really had that sad bloodhound face.
The bloodhound tracked PJ to a homeless tent in Van Nuys, which apparently wasn't that far away. The guy lived in Van Nuys, and that's where he went to hide. He jumped in a tent with some homeless people Van Nuys to try to lay low, but the bloodhound found him. So they pulled him out of there and arrested him. The update on the story is that his family is apologizing profusely, and they say that he does suffer from PTSD. They said that he did serve as a Marine. He went to Afghanistan more than a decade ago. And they put it this way, he never fully came home. When he came back, he was so traumatized, he didn't want to speak to anyone, said his sister, Shamaya Shayesta. She said that he lost so many of his brothers that fought with him over there, and he's the last one standing. Now, she also says that he tried to get mental health treatment, but he can't get an appointment till January through the VA. I mean,
is that still going on?
We've heard these horror stories before.
That story's been going on for years and years. Nobody fixes it? Really? Of course nobody fixes it. God.
Yeah. What? So the family has apologized. Their prayers are going out to this shot officer. They're not defending their brother, but they're saying that he is just whacked out. And I guess they couldn't afford to get him private mental health treatment. But it says he refused help for years at first.
Well, yes. I mean, that's a big part of it. Is the crazy people often don't want to get help. You know, and that's a big problem. You know, you part of you wants to feel sympathy for a guy like this, but let's remember, he shot a cop in the face. And there had to have been lucid moments where he realized he was out of his mind. He was living in an apartment. I don't know how
he worked. I don't know what he did for
a
living. Or
with a parents financing that. I mean,
this is his brother and sister who are talking. It says here that just two men that he had served with in Afghanistan just killed themselves this week. And they think that may have sent their brother over the edge.
Really?
In the U.S., 22 veterans a day are lost to suicide? Is that true? Wow.
I have heard that the suicide rate for veterans is pretty high. Even
22
years
a day?
After
wow. That's just startling. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of suicides at any given day in the country, but we don't think about those numbers.
I mean, for most people, if you have one really traumatic incident in your life, it could shake you up and shatter you for a long time, just one. If you're in Afghanistan or any other war, you see hundreds of these incidents happen. This is every day. Every day you're killing people, or people are trying to kill you, and your friends get killed, and you're trapped there, and you come back home and nobody cares about you. I mean, that's been true, like, seems like, since World War II was the last time we were treating any veterans properly. We do a lot of cheap salutes to veterans. It's like they put a veteran out on the baseball field, everybody stands up and applauds. And that's easy to do.
I go to NFL games and that's all there is. Right,
right. And I'm always irritated because we've done enough of these stories to know.
It's virtue signaling.
It's virtue signaling. And there's a lot of hard work to help the veterans that are dying in the streets. And they are dying all over the place right in front of us. And there doesn't seem to be a mechanism that's been put together to help them. So they don't die in the streets. And so they don't lose their minds and murder people.
Yeah.
And I don't understand. But it's really easy. You know, scoreboard puts the name up on and everybody, thank you for your service. It's like, what? And then they walk outside the stadium, and there's other veterans there, face down on the ground. I don't know.
And, we don't know. This story is coming from the family. It did say he refused help for a while, but that he tried recently to get an appointment with the VA, but they said there's nothing till January.
I believe everything about the VA, because when that homeless encampment was in front of the VA in my neighborhood, that took 4 years to clean up. 4 years. And everybody at the VA saw that thing. Because that's where they worked. Right. So they knew it was there, and they didn't do anything. And then finally, the head of one of the cabinet secretaries finally came to town. Remember when Villanueva cleaned it up, and one of the cabinet secretaries got a tour of the place on a Saturday? And
the VA administration or whatever.
Yeah, some VA administrator. I don't know. I forgot who it was. Some big mucky muck. And then finally, it was like, oh, yeah, we got to do something about this. And now if you look inside the VA... On the property there, they have dozens and dozens and dozens of these little tiny homes. And that's where a lot of these guys are living. Now, they could have done that 4 years ago.
Something always gets in the way. All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI. We're heading to the home stretch of recalling George Gascon, because they announced today that they've hit the 566,000 signature total, which is the minimum needed. Now they have to get the cushion of at least another 100,000 or so.
A big, thick cushion.
Yeah, big, thick cushion, because you can't trust the county registrar's office. Tomorrow, L.A. County Deputy D.A. John Lewin is going to be in studio at 4 o'clock. He's been a prosecutor in the Major Crimes Division in the D.A.'s office for years. He was the lead attorney who put away Robert Durst. And Lewin is going to come on and tell us how Gascon ruined the department and threatened to actually close the Major Crimes Division. And from what I hear, he's ready to spill it. And he doesn't care what the repercussions are. So we'll talk to John Lewin tomorrow, 4 o'clock.
Well, I got some just a moment for some from some good news on a bad news day. No?
Oh, sure.
Well, our animal lady's not here. It's good animal news. Damn it.
Yeah, save it for tomorrow.
No, because it'll be old news tomorrow. I suppose if you opened up the book of creatures, animals, this one would be listed first alphabetically. Do you have a guess?
Aardvark?
You're very good. You just came up with that like instantly, Rain Man. They have the birth of the first baby aardvark cub at the San Diego Zoo in 35 years. Isn't that exciting?
Is that right?
Yes.
Do aardvarks not mate very often?
I don't really know. They had a breeding program, and it doesn't say why they have it.
Well, that's because
it's a female.
That's because they look like aardvarks. It's like, ay, ay, ay. No, I'm not touching that. You look like an aardvark. Hey.
The cub is developing quickly and has tripled her birth rate from just over 4 pounds to over 13 pounds in just 5 weeks.
Wow.
Eventually, she'll be able to be seen by guests, but right now they have
her. I see. Yeah. Is there a male aardvark? I mean, I can't believe it took them 35 years to figure this out.
Yeah, well, they had a breeding program, so...
Oh, all right, so they started to do this.
Yes, the breeding program was successful in a... I don't know whether or not it's normally difficult to do, but these are, of course, native to Africa, the aardvarks. You may not know that, but
no,
they're from.
I don't know a whole lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen them in zoos.
Yeah, they were paired. The parents are Zola and Azan, who were paired through a breeding recommendation from the Association of Zoos and Aquariums Species Survival Plan.
How does an aardvark get a breeding recommendation?
Well,
are they judged and evaluated?
Probably somebody said these two would make excellent biological specimens for reproduction.
You should see this guy here. He is a breeder. Once he gets going,
yeah,
I'm looking at photos of aardvarks. Eesh. I don't know. I guess they get themselves.
The aardvarks are pretty ugly.
Yeah, that is.
Let's be blunt.
I can see
this. This little thing is kind of cute because it's tiny. But
right, yeah, but they end up.
It's got that kind of rhino, hippo kind of no fur looking.
Well, it's got a big snout
and those long pointy ears.
It looks like a combination of leftover animal parts from other species.
Yeah,
it has like a pig snout. It's got a rabbit's ears. Yeah,
a possum tail.
A possum and a prehistoric body. It does
look very dinosaur, kind of like a miniature dinosaur.
It is a prehistoric species.
Yeah, I bet you it is.
Well, so
it looks like a smaller anteater.
Yeah,
that's right,
does.
An anteater. It does look like that.
Well, no wonder they don't. They have a shortage.
No, I'd from
I
the
mean,
dreaded.
If all your dates looked like the aardvark, yeah, you'd probably just not even bother.
from the dreaded COVID desk, news came out today. Oh, no. Dr. Fauci has COVID.
Oh, no.
It's over. We heard Cherifee in a wave of this. Everybody's going to get COVID, John. You know that.
Over and over again, I read.
Yeah, right. It'll be like the cold.
Yeah, because there's more
variants.
You'll
get it three times a year, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just going to be part of the regular cycle.
Which the LA County Health Department doesn't understand because now they're pushing masking again. Oof. I get their daily emails about the cases and the deaths, and the deaths are way low.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's cases, but all of this is supposed to be about hospitalizations and deaths. Please stop this. And again, the research on masks is a little iffy. So let's not get carried away and act like, oh, this is the be-all, end-all solution. Everybody mask up indoors and we'll end this. We've already proven that doesn't work.
Well, most people are not afraid of getting sick. They were afraid of dying because that's the way this thing was marketed.
Yes.
Because they didn't tell the truth consistently that it was mostly the elderly and ones with serious physical issues. That most of us were not going to die even if we got it the first time. And this version is pretty weak in terms of symptoms. Now, it almost took Ray Lopez out. But,
oh, it did?
Oh, yeah, he had it bad. No, I'm not kidding. He really did have it bad.
Does he have a GoFundMe? What happened?
I don't know. Well, this is his first day back at work in like 3 weeks.
Was it that long already?
Well, part of it was his vacation, and then he caught it on vacation, and then he ended up being...
Right. That's right. That's right. Yeah, he went on that cruise, right?
Right.
That was a nice choice.
COVID cruise. You know, the 4,000 people crammed together.
Apparently, Fauci only has mild symptoms and will isolate. He'll isolate.
Should have isolated 2 years ago.
But Barbara Ferrer, I mean, honestly, this is the thing. By the way, they're going to bring back indoor masking in LA County by the end of the month if they stay in this high category. I think people are going to ignore it.
I think they will.
Some stores will probably put up signs again, wear a mask.
I don't sense that there's any desire to go back to that. That door has been closed.
580 COVID-positive people in LA County hospitals. But it doesn't say, the problem with that number is it doesn't say how many are in intensive care and how many are just there for something else and they got tested and they're positive.
Right, because
I hate that number.
Because it's propaganda. It's not an honest news story. An honest news story will tell you what it is compared to a year ago, what percentage of capacity that is, how many of them were just diagnosed having it while they were in there for something else. There's no context. It's just clickbait. It's just nonsense. And this is my question, which I've asked from day one. She does this because she has emergency powers, and it derives from Newsom's emergency order. But it's not an emergency. Nobody rational would say we're in an emergency. But she's still going to be issuing emergency orders? And who stops this charade? Who stops this? It's not an emergency.
I don't see Newsom ending the emergency.
No!
Because nobody's really pushing him to, and he survived the recall. That could have done it.
So the government's going to go back to forcing us to cover our faces? I don't think so.
Oh, somebody just sent a link. You know the story about the guy that shot the CHP officer and the bloodhound that tracked him down? It looks like In-N-Out gave him a hamburger. Well, that's nice.
Oh, the bloodhound?
Yeah, Piper. It's a canine named Piper.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's nice.
He got an In-N-Out burger as a reward for finding the shooter.
By the way, I was watching the news story last night, and they were highlighting Piper and the dog and how he ended up finding this crazy cop shooter. But then they talked to the homeless guy that the cop shooter
I saw that yesterday. Yeah.
And boy, he was really whacked out too. And then they talked to another guy in the encampment and he was like covered in tattoos. And it's like, oh my God, this is an outdoor mental institution.
Yes.
This is what all the news is.
You're just realizing that?
No,
yes.
No, but I mean, there was just
that's
something
what most
about
homeless encampments are.
Yeah, I know. It went from the shooter who's crazy guy with wild beard and wild hair, and now we go to his temporary roommate in the tent. It's like, ay, 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 look at that. And the guy down the road there in the other tent. It's not civilized anymore.
And this is the thing. They want you to think it's normal.
Yeah, I know. Right? I remember. It didn't used to be like this.
This is just a down-on-his-luck guy, He's experiencing some hard times. I feel bad.
Yeah. All right, more coming up. John and Ken show.
Apparently, quotes are moving around today that the energy secretary for Biden was actually saying that, gas prices high, it's terrible on families, blah, blah, blah. But then she added, it's moving us towards alternatives, and that may be a good thing. So
that's the plan.
Yeah.
That was the plan. That's why he shut down pipelines on day one, and that's why they've screwed around with the leases and the permits so that the oil companies can't increase production. This is all on purpose.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you don't vote on policy, but you vote on personality. Well, there you go. You're paying for it now.
This story is kind of fascinating. You're probably aware that the communist Chinese government has a remarkable way of tracking its citizens. They can keep you from venturing on the internet. They collect all sorts of data on people. Wasn't there a report once that they actually grade people on their citizenship or something?
They do. It's called social credit.
Social credit.
And you could end up shut out from society if your number isn't good enough. The way if your credit score isn't good enough, you can't get a loan or a mortgage.
There's a researcher by the name of Christopher Balding that's put out a report that if you have a smart coffee maker that was made in China, it may be collecting data from you.
Yes, things that are connected to the internet.
Yes.
Where you could run it over the internet.
Yes. He found out that they are collecting data on their own people in China that use the coffee makers and other devices, so robotic vacuums, thermostats, whatever. Yeah. But he says certainly they could do this, then these machines are used anywhere in the world. These coffee machines are made in by a company called Kalerm in a section of China. They gather product information, payment data, and customer information involving location and time. And you can also pick up the user's name, relative location, usage patterns. And they wonder, because in commercial settings like breakfast buffets, they can even collect types of payments and routing information.
Yeah. I am not dealing with any product that, any appliance that uses the internet.
Oh, is that right?
I'm not going to be tracked by anyone. No, because I don't need to. And I don't. I can get up and turn on the light switch myself.
Yeah, that was supposed to be the future. Our home would be completely automated.
The
lights would come on. You could actually start the laundry while you're driving home.
And it will be the future, and I'm not playing.
You're not playing.
No, though. I don't trust where all this data is going. The Chinese. Conway's walked in here.
You know, there's a great refrigerator that they sell at Lowe's that on your phone you can see there's a video camera in your refrigerator. So while you're shopping for food, you can click on and look at the inside of your refrigerator in live time.
See what's short.
Yeah, right, and see what you need.
Because you can't write a shopping list.
That's right.
Or text a shopping
list. That's right, yeah. And there's another one where you knock on the door, and then it shows you a picture of what's inside. It's great. But they're about $5,000, right?
Who needs? Are they?
Yeah, they're very expensive. Very, very expensive. They have not come down. They're not in.
Is it easy just to make a shopping list before you go out?
That's right.
Some of these convenience ideas, it's like, what's this saving you? 3 seconds?
And then there's some stores where they'll put your shopping list together for you, like Ralph's does, is by aisle. So it'll let you go through the store, and they'll tell you what aisle to go in. You know, it makes it faster.
This dopey Alexa sometimes is telling me, "Oh, you ordered such and such a few months ago. Would you like to order some more? Get out of here."
The Alexa gets thrown through the window. I need somebody else nagging me on buying groceries.
That's great, man. We're gonna have the latest on the horrible cop shootings this week. The CHP officer and then the two El Monte cops. Yeah, we'll have all the information. Yeah, it's just horrible. And then the average American feels relaxed for about 40 minutes a day. That's about it. Isn't that crazy?
That much, huh?
40 minutes.
I'm still looking for my 40 minutes today.
Ford's recalling about 3 million vehicles. Something's gone haywire there. And then remote-controlled pills could allow patients to release medical by electronic signal.
How about that? So you take the pill, and then later on,
if you need more juice, you hit a button and it gives you.
And what if that goes haywire?
It could. It could.
Yeah.
But I always thought, you know, there should be a time-release caffeine pill. So you take it at bedtime, and then 8 hours later, it kicks into your system.
They didn't have that?
I don't know. I don't think so, right?
Time-release caffeine pill.
Yeah, time-release caffeine pill. 8 hours later, it kicks in, and boom, you're up.
Right, but if something sets that off early,
you're up all night.
Your head pops off.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
You know, before we go, I don't want to put you on the spot, but your Mark Thompson impersonation is incredibly good.
It is.
You did that last night as a show ender. Hey, I'm here. And I was like, oh, he came in the studio. I realized, no, that was Tim.
You know what? He's asked me to stop doing this, though. When, like, a 40-year-old woman calls up, I'll say, excuse me, ma'am, do you have, like, a daughter? Like, I don't know, maybe, like, 20 or so? And, like, Mark, that's a caller to the station, a potential, you know, advertiser. I mean, please, God almighty. or the one that really got me in trouble with him.
Keep going.
This woman says she has a senior in high school who's going to Boston College. And Mark said, how old is she? I'm like, Mark, she's a senior in high school. I mean, God almighty, what's wrong with you?
I heard you do that. I swear.
He doesn't like that.
I was driving off the highway. That was one of the funniest things
like
I ever heard.
Yes. Ding dong.
Conway's next. Burgess got the news.
Just Conway, yeah.
Come on.
KFI, KSD, HD2, Los Angeles, Orange County, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast.
Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.